We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Yes, indeed. The Weekend Report is on your radio. Thank you so much for listening to it. My name is Tony Colombo in studio with producer Frank Ladd. And once again, connected through the marvel of modern technology is my partner, Chris Arps, from his home, from the compound. What do you like to call it?
The bunker.
The bunker. The Arps bunker. That is correct. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I just have a quick question for you and Frank.
Sure.
This is early spring, not fall, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it might be winter. I don't know what it is anymore. It's finally starting to warm up, and like just over the last couple of days, it's finally starting to warm up. But it has been Groundhog Day for 2 months, and not just because of the pandemic and lockdown and. You know, everybody, you know, you're at home or whatever every single day. The temperature has been the same every single day. It's almost June and we've seen almost no warm weather. And it just seems like it's been early spring.
But it's great for the nice late afternoon, early evening walks. You know, you don't get all hot and sweaty.
You
don't have to come home and shower before you go to bed.
Doesn't feel like the time. It just doesn't feel like we're at the right time of year. It doesn't feel like it's almost June.
It feels like we're in San Francisco or Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah. it's been bizarre. But according to Dave Murray and his summer forecast, we are about to break out of that and not necessarily get hot, super hot or anything, but at least get into like where we're supposed to be with a little warmer temperatures and maybe a little sunshine.
I hope so, man, because I tell you guys all the time, I would rather be sweaty, hot, nasty than cold any day.
I don't know. I don't know if I can go that far, but I am ready for summertime. No doubt about that. I am ready for summertime. So we got a lot to talk about today.
Yes,
we are going to get an update from our buddy Representative Nick Schroer about what is happening with the Missouri legislative session and this just across the state as far as all the reopening is concerned. This was week one. It just is finishing right now, the first week of the phase one reopening for the city and the county. Did you notice, was life any different for you this week with the reopening rules in place than it had been the previous couple months, Chris?
I have to tell you, Tony, the only thing that I really noticed was there were a lot more cars on the roads than what I've been used to the last couple of months.
Yeah.
But the only stores that I've really been going to are Walgreens and fast food places. So I haven't really gone out to really explore that much.
Yeah.
But as I said, there were more cars on the road. It was almost back to normal.
Yeah, I didn't even notice the traffic until Friday morning, and I didn't know if it had to do with stores being open or if it had to do with people traveling for the holiday weekend. But I had barely even noticed the traffic picking up this week, and I'm like you. I didn't go anywhere this week that I hadn't been going. I didn't go anywhere this week except for the gas station. And the only places that I've been going this entire time are like Schnucks and Target and, you know, once a week. And those places have been open this entire time anyway. So it didn't really affect me at all. I tried to look in, you know, strip malls and parking lots and, you know, look at to see if businesses were open and people were, but I didn't really notice that much of a difference at all this week. What about you, Frank? Was this week a different experience for you in any way?
I felt like there was a few more people out yesterday. Or late in the week.
Yeah.
But definitely not early in the week.
Yeah. That's kind of how I felt too.
In the afternoons, maybe, not necessarily in the morning hours.
Yeah.
It was just kind of one of those weird things. Certainly, obviously, when I'm driving in at 3:30 in the morning,
right.
You know, it's me and nobody else on the highways no matter what.
Right.
So we'll see how it is, you know, towards the later afternoons, maybe next week, when we start seeing whether or not people are actually back on the job. I question whether or not the reopening will actually affect traffic patterns in a significant way, because so many of the people who
forgot how to drive.
over this shutdown, everybody's driving 80, 90 miles an hour.
Yeah,
anyway.
No kidding.
I think that's going to slow some people down because there's going to be more cars out there. But looking at a lot of the folks that are going back to work, still have that option to work from home.
Right.
This whole complex here where we broadcast from.
Oh, we're not even
things
close
are back open.
To, yeah.
But nobody's back in the building on the business side.
And I don't think we're
that's
anywhere
be for
close
a while.
To
but
yeah.
Right.
I don't think we're close to opening back.
I think yes, certainly there's going to be more businesses around some of those storefronts, but or more business I should say coming in and out of those storefronts, but I wonder whether or not there's going to be more business in any of the large businesses where people are going to offices and that sort of thing, because they figured out how to work from home, and that's sort of the new norm over the past 2 months. And maybe people are hanging on to that and thinking, wow, I'm just as productive here sitting at my desk at home, and I don't have to drive in 20 minutes from West County
I think very many jobs have been changed permanently by this situation.
Where I noticed it, Tony. Yeah. We're North County boys, so you can appreciate this. You know, usually between 4 and 5 o'clock from Graham Road on Lindbergh all the way to the new Walmart is just wall-to-wall traffic.
Yeah.
Like on Manchester. When the coronavirus and everything was going on and people were sheltering in place, I could drive that and there was hardly any traffic.
I know.
And then earlier this week when it started kind of building back up, I forgot about that. I was like, where's all this? Okay, it's a normal traffic. But it was nice being able to drive down Lindbergh and not be in all that traffic.
You know what I'm looking forward to? And I just haven't experienced it yet because we've been, you know, what used to be, you know, we would still do our every other week big grocery shop, but through the week, if we just needed something, we would run up to Schnucks or Walgreens or something to pick something up. You know, that we eliminated throughout this entire process, wrote everything down and just did without something for a few days until we got to the next time that we were going for our big shopping trip. But what I've noticed on those big shopping trips and what I'm really looking forward to is, as weird as this sounds, we're talking about all of these places that, you know, the roads and businesses that have been so empty. What has been extremely frustrating for me personally experiencing, being the one who does all the shopping in the house, is that throughout this process, the grocery store, the places that I do go, grocery stores, Targets, places like that, have been packed, so crowded, and the lines have been insane because no other businesses are open. So nobody, when the people that are shopping have no options, so they're all in the same places.
So you're thinking some of that volume's going to spread out a bit.
Yeah, I'm hoping that starts to spread out and we get back to normal, like instead of just building in 25 minutes for that waiting in line to check out at these places. And I don't know. And that's always where I feel the most exposed, too, because you're standing in line for 25 minutes with people right in front of you and people right behind you, and you're nowhere near the stickers yet, so people aren't doing the 6 feet because the stickers aren't there yet because you're still too far back in the line. And it's like, oh, if the stickers aren't there, I don't have to.
What time of day do you shop?
Usually in the afternoon.
When everybody else is there.
Yeah.
On a Saturday.
Well, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I stopped going to the
I don't get off work
before,
at noon.
6 weeks ago.
So you're going at the at the really
going,
high
yeah,
volume
well,
times.
That's,
all right,
yeah.
Okay.
That's all.
All right.
That's my only. It's my only option. But,
because it's been a
so I'm
you
hoping
know,
that
sure.
I'm hoping that people can spread out a little bit. And
since it's been less convenient
for
you to
room.
Just go at any time, are
well,
you buying less?
It's not. I don't even
no,
know
no,
if
no.
it's less convenient
budgetarily.
But,
are you buying less?
That's a great
because
question.
Because you're making a list and you're not going at the drop of a hat to go buy that six-pack of this.
That's
or,
a great question. I don't think so because it's all the same stuff. It's just we're buying it all. Because
all at once.
I have noticed that the trips have been very expensive because we're waiting, you know, a full 2 weeks between grocery
right.
shopping trips. Instead of picking up things here and
there. I wonder, though.
So it's a full restock.
After all this is over.
Yeah, that's a good question.
A three-month look at your credit
yeah.
card bills.
Yeah.
Wondering if it's higher or lower.
Yeah, that's a good question.
And dude, why didn't you just do Instacart like me and Becky have done since coronavirus?
I don't
we
know.
We don't go to grocery stores anymore. We just have it delivered.
Because I'm stupid.
You don't want to help.
I go at the wrong times and you don't use Instacart.
Those little people need jobs too, Tony.
The Instacart
exactly.
people?
Yeah.
Yeah, well. Hopefully this will spread some people out a little bit and we won't all be so congested in these few places that are open. But we'll have to see how that goes.
Tony, once everything opens up though, what's one of the first places that you want to go to? Do you want to go to a restaurant? You want to go to a bar or a concert? What's one of the first things you want to do?
You know what? That's a great question. I don't really do any of that stuff. We don't go to the movies. We don't really go out to eat. We don't.
So this has affected you absolutely zero.
We do takeout. It's, well, it's
I mean, really.
It's affected us. It's affected the shopping experience for sure. You know,
going out and doing things.
Yeah. I probably.
You don't go to movies.
Yeah. No, not really.
You don't go to concerts anymore because
well,
you're not
that's probably the one.
Director.
That's probably the one thing is going to see. And it's more working those types of events. You know, I do a lot of work with various local musicians and groups. Working with them and promoting their shows and emceeing different events like that and not being able to go out and do that. That's probably the thing that I miss the most and I'm looking forward to. In fact, it's funny, maybe next week we'll have an announcement from one of our good friends who is starting to book some shows again
good
about
fun.
An event that's coming up that I'm going to be a part of this summer. So
tribute show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Queen guys. Yeah, exactly. Good. So it's interesting. And, it's also interesting next week. I'll be able to talk about the Lake of the Ozarks because we're going down there and, right after this show and at the lake, it's business as you, it's life as normal. There's no 25% in restaurants. There's
really?
No people aren't wearing masks. Bars are open. Restaurants are open. Movie theaters are open. I haven't experienced anything like that in months. So I am very much, and I'll report back next week. I don't even know how I'm going to react. Like, am I going to get down there? And is it going to be a relief? Is it going to be like, wow, this is normal life? This is great. Is my reaction going to be that, or is my reaction going to be like, oh? I don't like this.
I could see it being very overwhelming because it's
yeah.
a sudden change.
Yeah, I honestly.
It's that gradual.
I honestly don't. People have asked me, like, are you looking forward to getting down there and just kind of being back to normal? Like, I don't know. I really honestly don't know. And I don't think I know. I don't think I know how my instincts are going to react. Is it going to be like, whoa, I don't like this. Everybody's close. Nobody's wearing masks. You know, it's.
Are you going to wear a mask?
That person just called. Probably not.
Okay.
I mean,
no, he's gonna go hang out on his boat, Chris, and not ask us to go. Here's to a nice rainy weekend down there at
really,
Osage Beach.
Yeah,
ooh,
you,
okay.
Gotta be careful though.
Superstar down
there.
Four Seasons.
My little
Portisima.
My little bass boat. Memorial Day weekend doesn't do too well out there in the main channel.
Have you ever been asked down there, Chris?
Very careful.
By Tony?
I've been there for.
Have you ever been asked down there by
Tony?
No, tack with the rest of your life right now. Have you ever been asked by Tony?
probably to come down there and clean fish or his boat or something.
I don't think I've been invited to either.
I don't think anybody's ever asked us.
Let's do a show. Let's talk to Steve Moore. Let's do a weekend report this summer down there on the boat. It'll be perfect.
I love that.
We'll do a Second Amendment radio down there too. Second Amendment radio on the great outdoors and a weekend report.
If you've never hung out with Bo Matthews socially, he's a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's fun.
Yeah. We'll have
him. We leave Frank back in the studio?
That's usually how it works. Yep.
Oh, okay.
No, Frank's coming too. Yeah. Yeah. No, we're good. So we've got a big show on tap today. A little bit later on in the show, we're going to check in with Rodney Boyd. Rodney Boyd is the insider's insider. So we are going to get the scoop on what is happening, especially here in the state of Missouri, but also talk to him about some of the big stories happening nationally. Also, later on next hour, we'll talk to Skip Weber, of course, from Weber Chevrolet, and play a brand new edition of the Weird News Challenge. Skip's on a little bit of a winning streak. We'll see if you guys can put a stop to that. And coming up in just a minute, we'll talk to our buddy Nick Schroer, state rep here in Missouri, and get the scoop on what's happening with the Missouri legislative session. Are things back to normal there, and what kind of things are they working on? We haven't had any of the what we would have normally had, all the news stories coming out from the legislative session, you know, new laws, new bills here in the state. None of that happened this year because of the coronavirus pandemic, and we'll check in with him and see the status of that and see what they are working on, or maybe this year is just lost. We'll find out next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. Said I do, I miss you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to The Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo and Frank Ladd here in studio. My partner Chris Arps is connected and is in the Arps bunker. And in just a moment here, we'll be talking to our friend Newsmaker Nick.
Newsmaker Nick.
Yeah, State Rep Nick Schroer. In just a moment, want to remind people, however, about our podcast. We put out the podcast of this show every week, and you can get it basically anywhere you get podcasts, but I always recommend that you check out the Radio.com app, because the Radio.com app is basically one-stop shopping for the entire radio station. First and foremost, it's free, so there you go. And once you have it, you favorite the station, and then you have access to everything. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio like you were watching TV on your DVR. You can now rewind live radio with the Radio Rewind feature, and you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station, all right there on the radio.com app. So check it out. A lot of people download the podcast every week, and we certainly appreciate that. and spread the word and share it with folks that you think may enjoy it. All right, let's get Nick on the line here now. Our good friend Nick Schroer, Newsmaker Nick. How's it going, man?
Oh, I am living the dream. We finally finished up session, but the work never ends as we're now stopping tyranny.
Yeah. So, okay, lots to talk to you about.
Yes.
You said the session has officially ended. I was just saying in the last segment that I'm clueless on everything. I didn't, you know, this year has been so weird that I knew that you guys had gotten back to work, but I hadn't heard, you know, usually a legislative session every year is full of headlines and bills and laws that are being passed and discussed, and we kind of missed out on all that this year, so I literally am clueless about what happened and what you guys what are the headlines from this year's legislative session, if there are any, or is just the headline COVID screwed everything up and we didn't get anything done.
Well, even though COVID did screw a lot up, and you know, I've been paying attention to this thing when it was in China, where it originated last year, and I kind of saw the waves coming, and I think everybody who pays attention to politics on a worldwide level saw it as well, but we didn't know the impact that it would have, if any, once it hit the, you know, the Midwest. So yeah, it did screw us up a little bit. I think it was 6 weeks that we had to take off. We had to come back to do the budget. We have to have a balanced budget every year. It's in our Constitution. So the kicker with that is we really don't know what financial impact this is going to have, as so many businesses were shut down, and we don't know how much money of the people, I say it's the people's money, the tax dollars that the government scoops up, what revenue that the government would have to fund, you know, social services and other programs. So that was a doozy. Right when we came back, we hit that. But, you know, I'm a limited government kind of guy, a small government kind of guy. So I think even when we're in session without COVID, I think that we should be doing the people's work in a way that limits government so much, puts it, you know, in a nice plastic bag, if you will, where you carry it around in your pocket. So a lot of people are griping that we, after we did the budget, we still stuck around to do more of the people's work. And the things that we got done, I was very proud of. The first thing that I've been working on for a couple of years is adding the trafficking, the illegal trafficking of fentanyl, carfentanil, and two date rape drugs to our trafficking statutes in our state. Before then, we had, the only ability was if the feds would come in and prosecute these individuals on a federal level, or we could prosecute them with just mere possession, which we could never get up to the big drug kingpins. And we've seen in other states, this has already led to the U.S. working with officials in China after the states get this information to break down 9 drug kingpins in China. That's one. Another one that we got done, which I've been working on this year with Senator Tony Lukemeyer and Senator Bob Onder, another friend of the show, was our big, massive criminal reform, our criminal justice package, which included armed criminal action, treating felons that shouldn't have guns to begin with. They've broken the law. They've obtained a gun illegally, and then they go and commit a violent felony. We're going to treat them a little bit differently with mandatory minimums. We've got criminal street gangs, criminal carjacking, and adding things to the list of dangerous felonies. So individuals would have to serve 85% of their sentence before they could be let out on the street, something Kim Gardner was very much opposed to. Mm. There were a couple other good things with public safety, Veterans Commission. Another thing that I passed this year was a portal, a hub, if you will, that the Veterans Commission would be able to piggyback off the bill that I passed a couple years ago, allowing private businesses to advertise and give promotions to veterans, preferences to veterans. Now, businesses such as the ones that I'm general counsel for here in St. Charles County, Arrowhead Building Supply, and some others, we could now get into this hub from the Missouri Veterans Commission and not necessarily advertise for our company, but just say, hey, if you're going to want to move into St. Charles County, if you're going to want to move in whatever county it may be, here's some jobs that would be suitable for you that want veterans there, number one. So those are a couple of good things. But yeah, I think overall in the 3 weeks that we came back, we did get a lot done. I think we did a lot of COVID-related things, such as not taxing your stimulus checks. That was one from Tony Lukemeyer and Phil Christofanelli. But I think overall, given the circumstances, we had a very conservative and very successful session.
Go ahead, Chris. Because the session was shortened by 6 weeks because of coronavirus, that means that a lot of priorities probably you had and other people had didn't get done. What are some of the priorities that didn't get done, and do you see a special session to address those issues?
Well, I know one of the priorities, which is kind of strange, and I guess this is politics in general, is, you know, like Joe Biden, he was for it before he was against it. Lyda Crewson and the leadership out in St. Louis City last year, when it came to my good friend Ron Hicks, he had the repeal of the residency requirement in St. Louis. They were against it last year. Well, then after they looked at the facts and saw that we weren't just, you know, blowing smoke, that everything that we stated in these committee hearings and on the House floor was true, why we needed this repeal. Now this year they came out full bore. So now you had a bipartisan coalition pushing for the removal of the residency requirement. And now all that really states is if you want to, you know, work in the city, the city police department, you have to live within a certain vicinity in the city of St. Louis. And what we've seen is that's deteriorated a lot of things, whether it's recruiting. I know in the Kansas City area, they're the only other one that has this thing. It's deteriorated to the point where now, where if you had a background with drugs, you used drugs before, there was a very strict requirement in the city of Kansas City. Well, their recruiting had gotten so poor that they've loosened it to where even if you've had meth or LSD or heroin usage in the past, now you can become a police officer. And they've even shrunk the testing standards where it was pretty high. You had to, you know, have these high testing results. Now they've shrunken that down to where they can scoop up more people. And as a result, we've seen, you know, so many different openings in the city of St. Louis. Crime has jumped up in the city of St. Louis and Kansas City. So those departments really pushed forward this year. We just couldn't get it across the finish line. And I think with crime and the crime packages that we got through, there were some other crime-related bills, some of mine included, that just didn't get it across the finish line, such as witness intimidation. There are certain situations where on the federal level, again, Missouri hasn't got up to speed with it, but on the federal level, again, if you're going to intimidate a witness, so let's say, you know, Tony saw Nick commit a crime, and I'm going to get prosecuted, and I come and threaten him. We wanted to strengthen the penalties and give some more protections for the witness protection programs and witness intimidation. I think if we do see a special session, if it is related to public safety at all, those two things will probably get pushed to the forefront because it's got a lot of bipartisan support in the city of St. Louis and Kansas City.
Talking to Representative Nick Schroer, Nick, you have been on the governor's team as far as disseminating information about the reopening process here in the state. Do you have any details? We just were talking in the last segment about how in St. Louis City and St. Louis County this past week was our first week of phase one reopening. The state's timeline is a little bit faster than that. Can you tell us where we are, when the next sort of phase is scheduled to happen, and just any details on reopening that you have?
Well, I know the biggest concern that we have right now is, you know, whether St. Louis can have a stricter closure of these businesses as the state can. And if so, is that closure effectively curtailing constitutional rights? We've seen a couple different, whether it's the gym in Chesterfield, or now we've seen certain churches. David Gregory, who's a good friend of mine, he's a representative out in the St. Louis County area. He's just filed some lawsuits for some churches in the St. Louis area due to the fact that they're limiting in St. Louis County and St. Louis City, they're limiting the amount of people that could come into your church, but not into your hardware store. So when we look at these restrictions on businesses or on property rights, on any rights, is the government effectively overstepping their bounds? And I think when we have these situations where, you know, you can go into Home Depot, you can go into Walmart and stand in lines forever with, you know, thousands upon thousands of people, I think it's a clear indication that we're going to see more lawsuits if St. Louis County does not kind of reel that back in. And the big question is, and I know myself, Dottie Bailey, who's a replacement of the representative out in the Tim Jones area, we all signed on to a letter of hers asking the governor to kind of step in and supersede those orders in St. Louis City and St. Louis County. I think with the slow process of St. Louis County and St. Louis City moving forward, I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's something to definitely keep your eye on.
Go ahead, Chris.
Nick, one of the controversial bills out of the session was Clean Missouri. That passed going back on the ballot. What do you see for that in the fall?
Well, that's one where I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. And I've already seen paid for ads, bought and paid for ads from these quote unquote dark money PACs. That's what the Democrats want to call it, where you can't trace back where the money's coming from. But if you go back to 2018 and look at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and the Kansas City Star articles, you can show that, I mean, from those, I would say, biased sources, they've even admitted that the money's coming from George Soros and his PACs. It's not just fairy tales. So needless to say, there's a lot of misinformation, and I had to basically break down what gerrymandering is, and a study by the Associated Press back in 2018, which actually said, look, on the state level, for the statewide redistricting process, there is no evidence of gerrymandering in the state of Missouri. Another, I would say, somewhat by a source. But when you look at what we're doing here with the HJR, I forget, or the SJR, the Senate Joint Resolution that is going back on the ballot, it's not overstepping what the people did. It's not, you know, doing away with what the people voted in. What it is kind of clarifying, look, you guys wanted lobbyist gift bans. Well, needless to say, after this thing passed, we come to find out people are still getting tickets to whatever venue they want. They're going to get their steak dinners because there's a caveat in there. And what we've done with this language is say, look, the people wanted lobbyist gift bans and they are not happy that it's not in place. You will have the opportunity to either reiterate your position that you still want lobbyist gifts or vote in favor of stripping them out entirely. Likewise is the redistricting process, which I know I was on the show countless times in 2018, where I reiterated positions from the Clean Missouri attorneys and lobbyists, which indicated, no, this has nothing to do with redistricting. Well, needless to say, yes, it is, because that is all they're focusing on right now. And what this would do is give it back to the people in a bipartisan platform for redistricting instead of having one unelected, appointed by right now the only Democrat in the entire state person to redistrict the entire state. And what we've seen in different articles from Missouri Policy Journal, I think it was out in the University of Missouri, Kansas City, indicated that right now with the Amendment 1, with that one non-elected appointed official, that is the only one in the entire country. Whereas other states, the same year that Clean Missouri was being passed, the same year that money that was going to Clean Missouri, those groups were going to these other states that passed this nonpartisan, committee-based, citizen-based group like we are trying to turn to. So ultimately, the people, they can either reiterate their position or they can vote in favor of this fair mapping. And if that's the case, you know, we'll just have to deal with the consequences thereof.
They don't call him Newsmaker Nick for nothing. He's got all the information. Great talking to you, Nick. Thank you for your time today. I hope you're having a enjoyable Memorial Day weekend. And we hope to have you back on real soon. If people want to follow you and all the stuff that you're working on and also get details on, you know, just legislative session in general, if they want details on what you guys worked on, all the stuff that you were talking about, what are the best places to follow news in the state? And then, of course, you personally.
Well, just following me, you can either go to my website, Nick4Rep, all spelled out, Nick4Rep.com. That'll link you to my Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter, which is fairly active, and I'm going to have some updates
this
weekend.
It's a lot of fun.
On,
he's a good follow, yeah. Folks. He's a good follow.
Nick B. Schroer, if you're always entertained on there. So shoot me some questions if you have any questions about what's going on. Even though session's over, there is a lot going on when it comes to bureaucrats trying to kind of overstep your rights related to the COVID-related stuff with the healthcare and education. But yeah, shoot me any questions, and thank you guys once more for having me on again.
You bet. Representative Nick Schroer, thanks for your time. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
God bless you, brother.
Nick.
All right, we got to take a quick break. Back with more Weekend Report. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm sitting in a tree, see, swinging in the breeze. I'm
looking at the blue sky.
Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Big thank you to State Rep Nick Schroer for joining us in that last segment. If you missed anything, don't forget to download the podcast of this show every week on the radio.com app. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Frank Ladd, and my partner Chris Arps is in the Arps bunker as we practice proper social distancing here on the Weekend Report. And want to get back into some of the headlines of the week as we wrap up this first hour. Coming up in hour number two, we're going to talk to Rodney Boyd in the next segment to start the hour. We're also going to have a new edition of the Weird News Challenge with Skip Weber. And so don't miss that. We've got a whole second hour coming up. Right now, let's run through some of these stories of the week. Chris, I wanted to get your thoughts on this one. It was Vice President Week. in some aspects of the world. Amy Klobuchar was in the news because I guess the Biden campaign reached out to her and asked to vet her and, you know, go through the whole process of looking into her as a possible candidate for vice president. Early in the week, Stacey Abrams had what many people were calling her supermodel photo shoot. And with the Washington Post, that was the word that was commonly associated with that photo shoot. I'm not making that up. That's what everybody was saying, her supermodel photo shoot, and accompanied by a piece in the Washington Post. And Elizabeth Warren made news this week when she pivoted her entire platform. And she's been one of the two biggest supporters of Medicare for All, her and Bernie Sanders. Medicare for All, a cornerstone of Elizabeth Warren's platform. And she changed her mind this week. And she was speaking at, I think, the University of Chicago with David Axelrod at an event. And she said that she's backing off Medicare for All and said that Joe Biden's idea of the single payer is the way to go. So she has, and everybody said that she's doing that to align herself more with the Biden philosophy and make her more attractive as a vice presidential candidate. So the race is on to be Joe's VP. You got any thoughts? Go ahead, Frank.
I have a new entry to this. Breaking news. NBC is reporting that Representative Val Demings from Florida has now begun interviewing.
There you go.
To add to that list.
It's Vice President Week. Okay. Chris, what do you think of all of these stories, all of these people lining up to be vice president? What do you think of the candidates themselves, and who do you think's the right choice?
Look, I think Val Demings, the congresswoman from Florida, who is a ex-sheriff, I think the reason that she was thrown into the mix is because of Stacey Abrams' Washington Post story was a disaster, and people are already saying that she's not qualified. Kamala Harris is supposedly on that short list, but I don't think she's the one that's going to be picked either. I think it's going to come down between Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren. My money is on Elizabeth Warren. I think the reason that he's looking at Klobuchar is because she's from Minnesota. She's from the Midwest. If you remember in 2016, Trump almost won Minnesota. And I think the reason that Elizabeth Warren is moderating her views because she is on health care. She's one of the top choices of Joe Biden. And I think Joe Biden will pick her because she appeals to the Bernie brothers or to the Bernie supporters more than any of the other candidates.
I don't think she does. I think that from the outside,
they were competing.
Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders
were competing for the same voters.
I agree with that, but I think that their bases do not get along. I don't think that the Bernie Sanders supporters are necessarily just going to go with Elizabeth Warren because there's a lot of bad blood that has been created between those two camps.
But could they tolerate her?
I think that's kind of what it is.
No, that's a good point. Good point.
But I think just from a political calculation, she's the one that is closest to the Bernie supporters.
If you remember,
in 2016, 12% of the Bernie Sanders voters voted for Trump. So they can't let 12% of those people get away. She's their only real hope of attracting them.
I will be shocked.
She's their best hope.
I will be shocked if it's not a woman of color. that is selected by Joe Biden.
Not the ones that are currently.
I'm not saying it has to be one of them. I'm just saying, I will be shocked if it's not. I feel like he's set that up. I mean, I feel like that's been his whole, especially this week. You know, he's talked about the black vote a whole lot this week. It just seems to be that. It just seems to be the direction he's going.
But Tony, remember about 3 weeks ago, the South Carolina Congressman Jim Clyburn, who basically helped resurrect his career or his campaign, said that Biden is not necessarily tied to picking a black woman.
And for him to say that
means that's a trial balloon to see what would black people think to have Jim Clyburn say that. I don't think they're going to. I think the black women that they have to choose from are just not qualified. I think he would love to choose a black woman, but these three aren't qualified.
Yeah, those
won't really bring him anything.
But there's gotta be a qualified candidate out there somewhere, right?
Who?
Yeah, and I don't know.
Isn't that why in this part of the game leading up to the actual nomination, you talk to everybody?
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. I'm a little surprised that he hasn't. That they haven't expedited this process, because just in general, I don't know how closely you've been watching Joe and his virtual town halls. It's a comedy of errors, technical issues, him just not being able to connect. I mean, he's already a gaffe machine, but just he's looking very old and out of touch.
I think the geese honking in the back during that one interview was a good touch, though.
The geese honking, then his phone rings, and he doesn't even... There was three, I can't even remember what the other one was, all in that one interview. The geese are honking, and he says the geese are cheering for me.
Yeah, they're trying to escape COVID.
And then the phone rings, the other thing was he decided to nickname the president. First of all, PSA to all political candidates. The president does this nickname thing. I don't particularly care for it, but whatever. He does it, and he gets away with it, and it seems to work for him. Everybody else who has tried to do that, who has tried to, you know, stoop to his level and play his game, like Nancy Pelosi calling him morbidly obese, you know, like if he's going to name call, I'm going to name call. Remember when Marco Rubio decided he was going to do that and have him start calling Trump nicknames and things like that? It doesn't work for anyone else except Donald Trump. So what'd he say? I call him President Tweety. Ooh, like he's just not connecting. And so he needs to get this vice president situation squared away and maybe the entire cabinet in place so they can start going out and campaigning for him, because I don't know. You've worked on the inside of many, many, many campaigns. If you were a part of that campaign, how would you be feeling about it?
I mean, you can never feel too confident about your candidate when you're afraid to let him be himself and you've got him sequestered in his basement. I mean, that just speaks volumes. At this stage of the game, I know he's 78 years old and coronavirus and all that's out, but you got to get him out. You got him, send him to some states, not meeting with a whole bunch of people, with some people. You got to get him out of his basement.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he wants that. I don't think they want him out. I don't know what he wants, but I don't think that they want him out. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to dodge debates, saying it's not safe, you know, use coronavirus as a way to stay off the debate stage or maybe limit the debates. And they're also pushing this vote by mail thing more and more, which is not a good thing, but it to me reeks of fear and desperation.
Yeah, and speaking of that, thank you, Tony, for setting me up.
Yeah,
that was my Friday Red State column.
Hey!
Mail-in voting is not the solution.
Mail-in voting is not the solution, and we've only got about a minute to go before we have to wrap up this first hour. Why don't you tell us about that article? Give us a quick little tease and where people can read it.
Well, it's just this is something that the Democrats are pushing, especially in the battleground states like Michigan, because I think this is a place where they're going to try to steal the election. Yeah. But it's so fraught with so many potential for fraud. You know, bad voting rolls and all that stuff aren't cleared the way that they should. And if you just send out ballots out to everybody on the voting rolls, you're going to be sending ballots out to people that have moved, people that are deceased. I mean, that's just one thing right there.
It just opens it up.
Caution for everyone.
It just opens it up for corruption. I don't like it. And I don't like that we're having this conversation so seriously on the national level right now. All right, we got to take a break. But like I said, we've got an entire second hour coming your way. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk to Rodney Boyd, the host of Insider Talk, heard every Sunday at noon here on 97.1. When we get back, don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. Report on 97.1 FM Talk.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Yes, indeed. It is hour number two of The Weekend Report on your radio. Thank you so much for listening. If you missed anything in that first hour, don't forget about our podcast. You can check it out anywhere that you get podcasts, pretty much. I always recommend the radio.com app. The radio.com app is free, and it's one-stop shopping for the radio station. You download the app, you favorite 97.1 FM Talk, and then you can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio like you're watching your television, your DVR, with the new Radio Rewind feature, and you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station. And again, it is all absolutely free, so go and check that out. In the first hour, we talked to Representative Nick Schroer, got a great update on the just-ended Missouri legislative session, which was did not make the news that it normally would. The headlines that we're used to coming out of a legislative session, all of that was sort of pushed aside for the pandemic. So it was great to hear from Representative Schroer and get an update on what they were able to accomplish this year. And so if you missed any of that, go and check out the podcast. Coming up this hour, we've got the Weird News Challenge in a few minutes with our buddy Skip Weber. And as I mentioned earlier, joining us now on the line is the host of Insider Talk, heard every Sunday at noon here on 97.1. We call him the Insider's Insider, Rodney Boyd. Great to talk with you, Rod. How's it going?
Hey, man, it's good to be with you guys as we work our way through this this unprecedented COVID era.
Yeah, no kidding. So I mentioned just now that we talked to State Rep Schroer in the first segment and got some updates on what is happening here locally and throughout the state as we go through this reopening process. We've been talking a lot about how this week was the phase one reopening, the very beginning of phase one reopening for the city and the county. We're about a week into that phase one now. Want to just get your thoughts on where we're at right now. And has the reopening process, have you noticed it in your personal life at all? Is anything different as we go through this reopening phase?
You know, I'm gonna save the answer to that personal reopening for the last part of our interview, because
it
is. I do actually have a great story to tell on the opening and the timing of it that's personal and I think important to share. So, look, I sit in the intersection between, like, government and business on a daily basis and have the opportunity to listen to a lot of CEOs from various sectors. And so I can tell you that for as much as the reopening is seen as a positive, there is a lot of stress and tension about the pragmatic approach of it. It's this weird sort of – I'll give you an example. So part of the reopening allows hotels – to open up in some parts of the region at 25% occupancy, which, you know, it's better than being closed, right? But then at the same time, some of the restrictions about not opening the gyms and the pools and the spas and hotels have hotel operators just in a conundrum, because guests are going to hotels and they feel like they paid for certain amenities that they wouldn't have access to. So it's like I said, for as much as people are encouraged by it, everybody seems to be ready to get to whatever would be phase two, three, and then sort of trust the establishments to follow guidelines with a full reopening. We've seen the same thing from healthcare clubs. There was a lawsuit filed about with gyms that have said, hey, our brothers and sister operators in other states have figured out how to open, do social distancing, respect COVID. We can do the same. So there's an appreciation that there is a opening, but then there's a frustration by businesses as they try to open with the guidelines that may some feel are too restrictive and want a little bit more trust in the venues to adhere to the policies. And I think that's probably consistent across the industries. I heard one hotel operator say, for as much as we appreciate opening, there's nothing we can really achieve by operating at 25% capacity with rules that don't allow us to open up all mm-hmm. of the aspects of our property. In some cases, it may have been we would have rather waited until you got to the point where you could open up fully and give us some guidelines to go by. So it's complicated. I mean, and yeah, we are seeing the challenges of the intersection between when you have healthcare policy and economic and political policy all being sort of cobbled together at the same time.
Rod, now that the curve is starting to flatten on the pandemic nationwide, Donald Trump and Joe Biden are starting to get out a little bit in campaign. Not so much Joe Biden, but the president is getting out more. Joe Biden made some news on Friday. He made a comment on a radio station. And I'm asking you this not as a fellow black person, but just asking you this as a politico. Joe Biden basically said that if you don't vote for him and you vote for Trump, you're not a black person. Does that help him politically within the African-American community?
Can I just say, too, before you answer that, Rodney, that I have heard that statement a lot this week from Biden's campaign and other African-American Democrats that say, I remember hearing somebody say this week that a lot of black people regret not going to the polls in 2016. They weren't motivated to go vote for Hillary Clinton, so they didn't go out, and that they realized that it was a big mistake. And so these guys are predicting that there's going to be this huge black vote that comes out for Joe Biden because of that. But I thought, as we've gone through this, and polls have shown that Trump has done a really good job of making inroads with the black vote. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to add on too much to that question, but it's a great question, and you guys are the perfect guys to answer it. So I'd love to hear what you think is the truth. Are there going to be this big black vote that didn't come out in 2016 that supports Joe Biden, or has Trump truly made some inroads there?
So, look, I think the statement on its face is counterproductive because it begs the question, what would black people be voting for or getting with Joe Biden? And there are more questions than answers today, Chris. Look, if you want to talk about the legacy of the Democratic Party and that's what Joe Biden says you have to vote for to be black, he's wrong. What people are looking for, and I don't speak for all black people, but what people are looking for, whether you're black, brown, white, yellow, or whatever ethnicity, is pretty much the same thing. I want a quality of life that respects me as a person, values me as a person, and allows my productivity to be appreciated. And if Joe Biden is saying implicitly, oh, well, I am the embodiment of that, I've never seen that, and he's wrong. What he ought to say is, I want to work for, and I'm willing to put policies and compete for, and set a table where anyone in this country, black or brown, has a fair access to opportunity. Their work is valued and appreciated, and that's what I'm going to do. And then itemize the things he's going to do. I think the thing that happened last time in 16, and why a lot of minorities didn't vote, was like everybody, man, people go to vote for what they believe will advance their interests. And if they don't see anything that advances their interests, they abstain, whether we like it or not. And I can tell you today, if the platform that Joe Biden is putting out for the African-American community is, hey, vote for me or you're not black, it's not that much different than when the president says, what do you have to lose? It's just sort of a conceptual thing that doesn't really give me a policy to chomp on. So I hope that Joe Biden is now going to back up that. I saw that comment. I didn't hear it. I saw it in print. Hope he's going to back that up with some substantial policies that allow African-Americans and others to say, hey, those are the policies that are going to give me a better shot at achieving the American dream, building my personal economy, taking care of my family. But other than that, I think it's just kind of like it's conjecture to say anything along those lines. And to me, without having more context, it's actually offensive.
Mm. Talking to the host of Insider Talk, Rodney Boyd. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I was thinking just one of the mistakes that I think that the Democrats are making, white and black, and I want to get your opinion on this, Rodney, because like I said, you're political and you follow politics. The American people want something to vote for, not somebody to vote against. Mm. And that seems to be the Democrats' strategy, is that President Trump is so bad, I know the rest of the country probably hates him as much as we do. Let's get him out of there. But they're not giving the American people an alternative to vote for something. It's vote against Trump. Do you think that will be effective this fall?
Look, let me tell you this, man. I don't think that's a winning strategy. I do not believe that Mr. Biden or the Democratic machine are going to have a successful time in November if all they do is run against Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump, the president, if you look at the polling, his numbers are pretty much the same. Now, think about this. Here we are in COVID, and you can have your perspective, but his polling numbers are pretty much the same pre-COVID, 41%, 450, whatever. But the bottom line is the president's holding steady. And what people are going to vote on in November is they're going to vote on who they believe is the best person with the best opportunity to bring us to keep the economy from collapsing totally and to bring us out of the economic crisis. And I don't care whether Joe Biden is talking about you're not this or you're not that. The Democratic Party has to propose, which we haven't seen yet, a comprehensive plan that will deal with the reality of the worst unemployment since the Depression, the worst pandemic since 1918, and people wanting some solutions going forward. You may not like everything the president's doing, but he's got the bully pulpit. He's using the bully pulpit. He is pushing the vaccine narrative faster than any president has ever done. He is not necessarily the sort of chief medical guy. He's got some quirky stuff about the medical perspective. But on the vaccine and on the economy, he's bullish and he's pushing. What people are going to want to see before they're ready to switch over to a new candidate, and this is independents and a lot of blacks who didn't vote at all. I'm putting the blacks that stayed at home in 2016 and the independents together. Who's going to have the best plan to bring this economy through this crisis? And it's not going to be based on conjecture, and it's not going to be actually based on what you've done over the last whatever 40 years of being in the Senate. It's going to be based on what you bring to the conversation in now and what we believe you can do going forward. I think that's going to be what guys, almost everybody, black, brown, whatever, but especially those that abstained from voting last time because they didn't like the choice on the Democratic side. You got to give them something. You got to give those people something that brings them to the polls with a sense that this is going to make their lives better, or they're going to stay at home. I can tell you this, Trump supporters are going to vote.
Right.
They're going to vote. Yeah. They're going to show up. They're going to be there. So this sort of, what do you do about this apathetic black voter that didn't feel like they really had a viable candidate last time? If they feel that way this time, Chris, Tony, they're going to stay at home again.
We are talking to our good friend Rodney Boyd, part of the 97.1 family here, host of Insider Talk, heard every Sunday on the station And Rodney, we've got just a few minutes left before we wrap that up. You alluded to it at the beginning of the conversation that you had something to say. You have had a tragedy and have been touched tragically by the pandemic and by COVID. I know you wanted to say a couple things that. So,
and I appreciate time is COVID yours. The COVID-19 virus hit my family very hard. My grandmother's eldest son, my uncle, Gary Michael Boyd, who's been a part of my life ever since I went home and could appreciate family, he's been there. And through every little quirky challenge I've had from first grade through college, he was the guy that I would call and say, "Unc, what do you think I should do?" And he always gave me, he was a very practical blue-collar guy who had just retired, by the way, about 2 months ago from the city of St. Louis. Large equipment division. And, you know, he would always give me the most practical, salient advice that always worked. I told my grandmother this the other day. I said, I never remember calling Mike and getting off the phone and not having a clear sense of what I should do, whatever the situation was. So I've got that with me, and that's going to live on forever. You asked me about the opening. Well, I thank God for this. Because of the relaxing of the restrictions, rather than having the dual choice that we were faced with about a week ago of cremation or meet the mortician at the cemetery, we are now going to be able to have a COVID-respected visitation and service. And that's because a number of churches in the city and in the county have decided to open up, not all of them, but a number of them. And there are a few morticians that have decided to try to give back to a sense of like what a normal, respectful life celebration, homegoing service would be. And so I thank God that we are at least going to be able as a family, probably 40, 50 of us, to get together and spend that time spaced out at the right church to celebrate my uncle's life without just saying 10 of us meet at the cemetery or we have to put him in an urn because of cremation. Mm. And that is a part of what the reopening has done. And I encourage every family that may be suffering a loss that may not know that to think about the fact that there are some churches and some morticians, not all, that right now in the region are providing regular services. And we were very blessed when the mortician told us, hey, things have opened up and we want to give your uncle a visitation and we want to give him a traditional funeral with respect to COVID. So. Right. That was encouraging to us.
Yeah, very, very touching stuff, Rodney. Thank you, and thanks for your time. Anytime you come on, we appreciate your time, but especially when you're going through something like this, and our hearts go out to you, and please let us know if there's anything we can do to help you and your family at this time, and hope you're able to get through the rest of the weekend and celebrate your uncle's life.
Greatly appreciate you guys. Keep the great political conversations going, the great conversations in general going. That's encouraging for all of us. We need shows like what you guys are doing to take our minds off of some of the hardcore COVID stuff and kind of get us thinking outside of that. So appreciate what you guys are doing on your show.
You bet. It's great. Rodney Boyd, every Sunday at noon, the host of Insider Talk. Rodney, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. All right, we need to take a break, and when we get back, we will have the Weird News Challenge on the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk.
If you lose me, you lose everything.
Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Frank Ladd. And Chris, I have amazing breaking news happening right now.
All right.
Moments ago, I got a text from Skip Weber, who, of course, we've been talking about throughout the show, coming on to play the Weird News Challenge as he does every week in this segment. I got a text. He's got pulled away on a business-related call and was very apologetic, but said, I can't call in. I've got this thing going on. I'm really, really sorry to. So I'm like, well, maybe we'll just do one-on-one, Chris versus Frank. But then I see in the hallway the producer of the Annie Fry Show, the former producer of the Weekend Report, the person that was here when the Weird News Challenge was born, Katie Fitzpatrick. And I said, Katie, please come into the studio and play a game with us. I know you're not here to do that right now, but she said yes. And so Katie Fitzpatrick is in the studio right now.
Just like old time.
What is happening?
Yes, long time no see,
the
gentlemen.
The former champ
you
is
said
back.
Game, Katie showed up.
Yes. Yes. For a long time on the Weird News Challenge, Katie Fitzpatrick was the champion for many, many months.
She has a rule named after her.
Yeah. We mentioned your name. Katie, we say your name every week on this show.
I'm blushing right now.
Literally,
I'm flattered.
Every week we say your name because we talk about the Katie Fitzpatrick rule in the Weird News Challenge.
We would have some crazy Saturdays, and I miss you guys so much.
So I'm looking at the scoreboard, Chris.
Yes.
It's been what? It's been
two years
since you've been on the show?
Jinx.
Wow,
two
it has been
yeah.
that long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about 2 years.
And,
crazy.
And she is still fourth place overall on the Weird News Challenge scoreboard.
How many victories is that, by
She
way?
Has six victories.
Oh, 1 million victories.
She has six victories. Skip, of course, the all-time leader with 29. You're second with 17. Trish Gazelle has 15. And Katie's in fourth place with six.
Crazy. Is Frank playing this game? Or?
Frank is playing this game.
Oh, God. Okay, Frank is really good at pop culture.
Yeah.
Frank
won his first game
good at pop culture
the other day. Yeah, he's...
I've only been here... 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah,
here.
I was going to say 3 or 4 weeks, and you've already won.
That
and
scares
he's won
me,
a game.
Chris. I think I could beat Chris. No offense to you, Chris. I'm already talking smack. Yo,
look at that. Everybody talks smack to Chris.
But Frank might be a little difficult.
I don't know what's up with that.
And you're second place all time. What's going on? Where's the respect?
I'm just kidding, Chris.
I'll tell you what. 2019 was not Chris's year.
Okay.
For the Weird News Challenge, but 2020.
Yeah.
Has been a resurgence.
He's balling.
Of Chris Arps.
Okay.
And he had fallen behind Trish Gazelle and was in third place for a while. He rallied and has moved ahead of her. And yeah, so he's upped his game.
Okay.
He's upped
Chris,
his game.
Very well.
Impressive.
I'm going to say this too, guys. It's probably been 2 years. We say her name every week, but it's always the sentence always is the Katie Fitzpatrick rule is not in effect.
Yep.
Katie Fitzpatrick is here. The Katie Fitzpatrick rule is in effect.
It's happening.
So that means you cannot buzz in until the question is read.
Which is correct.
Until the question
That's the way to
is
play
completely
something.
Read. You cannot buzz in. That is the Katie Fitzpatrick rule. And so since Katie's here, that's how it's going to be. Today's game is 5 possible questions. The 5th question has 6 possible points. I don't think you ever played a multiple question. I don't think we had multiple questions
no,
when you
we
played.
No, we did not.
So,
hey, Tony, you've got to tell her about the new wrinkle, too.
Yeah, I am. So, the multiple question, with the question number 5, there's 6 possible points. So if you buzz in and you get 1 or 2 or 3 of the 6 and then get one wrong, somebody else can buzz in.
Fair game.
Yeah. So, yeah, so if,
wow.
if Frank...
It's
open
if,
to the room.
Yeah, Frank buzzes in on question number 5. There's 6 possible points. He gets 2 of them and then misses. Then it's open immediately. You and Chris can buzz in. And then if the second person...
Until they miss.
If there's still a point left, yeah, you can still get that last point. And at the very end of the game, we have included, new to 2020... The QMD, the question of mass destruction.
Okay.
Which has time limit.
Yes, which has a time limit now. The question
it's
of mass destruction is
game.
An automatic win. No matter who's won the game at that point,
question
it
of
changes
mass destruction.
Everything.
It just wipes off the
yes.
entire scoreboard.
But the question of mass destruction is a very,
very
difficult question.
I probably won't get that.
It doesn't usually get answered, and this week's is extremely hard.
Great.
But
yeah,
we'll
Katie, one of the
All
questions
right.
of mass destruction was so difficult that it was a music question, and Skip got it. Shocker.
Oh.
Right, but it was like
wow.
you had to name 10 different bands or something like
yeah.
that, and Skip was able to name 3,
yeah.
and that won it.
Shocker.
Yeah. yeah.
right,
that wasn't
Chris,
a QMD, though. That was a regular question. That was a multiple point question.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. This is episode number 80. Katie's back on a milestone episode, episode 80 of the Weird News Challenge. Katie Fitzpatrick rule is in effect. Before we go, we need to test our buzzers. Chris Arps.
God, I forgot.
Katie, it's been the same.
Katie,
I forgot.
What's your buzzer?
I forgot what mine used to be, so I'm going to make a new one.
Okay.
Caw-caw!
All right.
The St. Louis Battle Hawks?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Represent.
R.I.P. Hey, they might be back. We'll talk about that later. Frank, test your buzzer.
Frank.
There it is. All right.
Oh, that's a good one. All right. That is a Frank buzzer.
All right, guys, cannot buzz in until the question is finished. Okay? We haven't done that in a very, very long time. Katie Fitzpatrick rule is in effect. Weekend Report, Weird News Challenge, episode number 80, question number one. These are all, Katie, if you don't remember, these are all questions related to news stories that are recent, real news stories that are kind of weird. Question number one. Inventors in Israel have created a face mask with a remote control mouth hole that opens and closes with the push of a button. What is the purpose of having this feature?
Frank.
Yes?
To drink. For a straw?
Oh, that is incorrect. That is incorrect. Chris Arps.
For kissing.
No.
Oh.
Mouth hole.
I'll read the question again. Inventors in Israel have created a face mask with a remote control mouth hole that opens and closes with the push of a button. What is the purpose of having this feature? It's all over. Yeah, you don't have to buzz in anymore, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm a little rusty here,
I understand.
Sir.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say to speak clearly.
For eating. Eating without having to take off your mask. It's different than drinking.
Seriously?
Oh, man, Frank is not happy.
He's not happy.
He's not happy.
No, he thinks he should
get... I wouldn't be either, because that was close.
The judges, Katie, on that one.
Yeah, let me check with the judges. Judges? No. Judges said no.
Nope.
The video's been everywhere. It is creepy. It is very creepy.
That
and even
awful.
The inventor, as he's eating, the food is touching the mask. Like, he's not getting it quite in the hole, and it's like scraping the mask as it's going in his mouth. It's not good.
I don't like the image.
No, it's not. All right, question number two. It's a long question. Hold off on those buzzers. Sports teams around the world have tried to fill stadium seats since fans aren't allowed in. Fox has talked about using CGI. Some leagues have used cardboard cutouts, but a South Korean soccer team took it up a notch this week and put what in the seats? Katie.
Mannequins.
No. I'm
sex
sorry.
Dolls.
Stop.
That is correct.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't you have
no.
to buzz in? I buzzed
yeah.
in.
He needed to buzz in, but I'm giving it to him.
Wait,
yeah.
Frank did buzz in.
I know, but after you got it wrong, he needed
buzz
to buzz in again.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Because it's like possession of the board.
Sex
and then she
dolls.
Gets it wrong, and then it's open again.
Sure.
So you have to buzz in again, but I'll give it to you. Did you know that, Chris?
Yes, I did.
You
no,
didn't.
You didn't.
You didn't.
I did. It was.
I'm looking
sex,
at your face.
Robot.
You did not know it.
Yeah, we can see you. You can't see us, but we can see you, and you got lion eyes.
There's a lot of disbelief in this room, Chris.
All right, question number three. A priest in Michigan went viral this week for doing what in a drive-through service?
Question wasn't over.
That question wasn't over?
You're early.
I don't think it's
She's out. She's out. You guys. You can buzz in.
Yeah, did you finish the question?
Yes, I did. I'll read it again. I'll read it again, but you can buzz in anytime now. A priest in Michigan went viral this week for doing what during a drive-through service? This was everywhere. Katie was too early. All right.
Confession? I don't know.
No.
Is it a confession?
No. No. You know,
I like the fact that she knows it and she doesn't get
I
the
Frank?
Points because of because of her own rule.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
It's she broke her own
rule.
She broke her own rule. That's why nobody likes the rule, Katie.
So I have seen I'm not buzzing into answer. I'm just drawing out
I'm
the conversation here.
Well,
that's fine, but she's not getting the point.
You're out of time. No, she's not getting the point. What is it?
He was having a squirt gun with the holy water.
Yes.
That's how he's distributing.
He was using
holy water.
A little kid's toy water gun to squirt
so he was
holy
6 feet
water.
Apart.
Yes, into the people's car as they went by
to bless them.
Yes.
Have you ever been
by? It was like a
by
green water gun.
A drive-through funeral parlor.
No, but
I have. South side of Chicago.
Yeah.
Lady lying in the casket.
Oh.
On the side, kind of sexily.
No.
And you drove by and you paid your respects. Because had she been laying flat, laying up, you would not have been able to see her in the casket through the window from your car. So she was propped up on her side.
No.
Uh-huh. Weird.
Drive-through funeral parlor.
All right. Weird. Frank is the only one with a point right now.
Oh, my
question
people.
Number
oh, my
four. Two questions left, but question number five is 6 possible points, so it's still anybody's game. Frank has a 1-point lead.
Damn you, Frank.
Currently. Only
it's
one
not
point,
my rule.
Only 1 point on the line here. Question number four. Another new term that was introduced to the national lexicon this week is skin hunger. Apparently, many people are currently suffering from skin hunger due to the lockdown. What is skin hunger?
Frank.
Yes.
Lack of physical touch.
That is correct.
No,
the desire for physical
Frank.
Touch. Skin hunger.
Ugh, why name it that? Can it be something more sexy?
Right?
Like what?
Yeah.
Skin hunger.
Yeah, I know.
That's
disgusting. Call that horny back in the day.
Hey, man.
Nope.
Talking it's about
family radio.
We're talking about hugs, bro. We talk about hugs.
We can cut that out.
Talk about holding hands and hugs. No, we're not cutting
There's
it out.
There's no edits.
No.
It's live radio, buddy.
All right, here we go.
Oh, Chris,
here we
you.
Go. Frank has a 2-point lead. You got one of you two need to get at least 2 points to force the tiebreaker, or he has won the game.
But what about that
least
mega
momentarily,
thingy?
At least momentarily.
It's a momentary win.
Yes,
momentary.
Exactly.
I've been robbed, Katie. I've been robbed.
Here we go. 6 possible points on the line. A new study has revealed details about people's dreams. According to the study, what are the top 6 most common nightmares people have? Yes.
Chris. Snakes?
No. He's
what?
Out. Frank.
Late for work?
Yes. Running late. Yep. That's a point.
Falling?
Falling is number 2. 4.
Oh,
death?
Death is number 6. You just won.
Oh, my gosh.
What are the other ones?
Do you want to try them?
Oh, wait.
Falling was number 2. Running late is number 4. Death is number 6.
Some sort of attack.
Being attacked is number 3.
Accidentally wetting the bed?
No. No,
okay.
Being in your underwear while having to give a speech?
No, that was on there. It was in the top 10, but not in the top 6.
That would have been my first one.
And is sex in there anywhere?
I don't remember it. Number 1 is being chased.
Okay.
Okay.
And
yeah,
number 5 was being lost or trapped.
Sure.
Falling,
somewhere.
That's a good one.
Falling
Frank.
Was number
yeah,
2.
Falling. Yeah. I have that.
I can't
often.
Believe snakes.
All right, Frank has
snakes.
Won the game unless one of you can steal it on the weird or on the QMD, the question of mass destruction. Before we do that, the tiebreaker just for the fun of it. I take the time to write these questions, so I'm using all of them. According to at least one survey, people are ready to get out and about after being in lockdown for so long. That's a hint. According to the survey, what percentage of Americans are planning more road trips than usual this summer after being cooped up for so long?
Caw-caw.
Don't think about it because it doesn't mean anything. Go ahead.
Caw-caw. 60%.
Okay.
25.
Okay.
61%.
It was there was a hint. It's going to be more than 50. I said more than usual. Yeah.
61?
65.
I don't know how many people plan and take road trips. So I thought it was 20%.
I think people are itching to get out.
The hint was obvious it was going to be
again,
a higher number.
Again, those types of survey type things
I don't know why I'm,
are really skewed.
I don't know why I'm giving you advice, though, because you won that game big time. All right,
I'm
QMD,
sure.
Your only chance to beat Frank. Do you have to wait till it's over? And you have to buzz in like normal.
And Frank there's a time
can,
limit.
And Frank can buzz in, too. Yeah, there's a time limit. Yeah, he can buzz in, too,
I
and
guess,
get
yeah.
it. All right, here we go. The only chance to beat Frank. Question of mass destruction. The president made big news this week when he revealed he was taking hydroxychloroquine. How do you spell hydroxychloroquine?
Caw-caw!
You're going for it.
Okay.
Here we go. Here we go.
H-Y-D-R-O-C...
Wait. No, you're done.
That's
go ahead,
it?
Chris.
Hydroxychloroquine, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's Googled it.
All right.
Look at him. Make sure he's not looking at his
look
computer.
No hands. I'm not looking at anything. H.
Yeah.
Y.
Yeah.
D.
Yeah.
R.
Yeah.
O.
Yeah.
C.
Nope.
A.
H Y D R O X Y C H L O R.
Chloroquine.
O Q U I N E.
I
just,
hate you,
Frank.
Frank I'm done.
It. Frank just
I'm done with
it.
You, Frank.
What's
Frank
after hydro?
Spelled it. It's hydroxychloroquine.
Oh, hydroxychloroquine.
With an X.
Y.
Both,
you,
more, yeah.
both of you did the hydro
yeah, the
and then the C. But
yeah.
it's O-X-Y, then the C.
I'm
and
done with
Frank. Frank literally just spelled it.
I
that
forgot
is
oxygen.
Domination.
That was hydrochloroquine.
We have
that
to spell
domination.
That all the time, too.
Oh, Katie no. I just see it every day. I don't have to type it, thank God.
Katie? I type it all the time.
It's like typing Blagojevich.
Thank you for coming back and playing.
Done with you guys.
Thank you for bailing us out today. Thanks for being in the building.
You're welcome.
Saturday.
Yeah, being here
job,
to help us out.
You know,
the
guys,
return of
all for the weekend.
The great
report.
Katie Fitzpatrick. Hope to have you back on again soon.
And you know what? If I lose the next time, I'm not coming back.
All right, we got to take a break. Got more weekend report coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Big surprise there in the Weird News Challenge, the return of Katie Fitzpatrick.
She may never come back.
She may never come back.
She stormed
Not
out of
really
the room.
A big surprise. I lost.
Frank Ladd, unstoppable this week. But it was great. Got to say thank you again to Katie for coming in and joining us. As I mentioned, Skip Weber was unable, got pulled away on some business and was unable to call in and play the Weird News Challenge this week. But the Saturday Evening Rock Show is going to go on, of course, as scheduled tonight and every Saturday night, 9 to 11, the number one music show on a talk station in the world, the Saturday Evening Rock Show, hosted by Skip Weber. And, of course, the three Weber Chevrolet locations around town to serve you, Creve Coeur, Granite City, Columbia, Illinois. They are slowly, like the rest of us, getting back to normal there. Sales are open, but they do ask you to make a reservation. If you are coming in to buy a new or used vehicle, they're open. You can just walk into the showroom as usual, but they are trying to, you know, make sure that all the proper social distancing is in place. And so they ask you if you know you're going to be coming out there to make an appointment. So they're ready for you and they can, you know, make sure that all those sanitization and social distancing rules are happening. But it is a great time to go out and visit any of those Weber Chevrolet locations. Some unbelievable incentives happening right now. If you are in the market for a new vehicle, it is a great time to buy. You can check out all the details at WeberChevrolet.com. And Skip will be back next week for another edition of the Weird News Challenge. And again, big thank you to Katie Fitzpatrick from the Andy Fry Show for coming in and playing the game. It had been 2 years since Katie had come in and played the game with us.
Boy, she's gotten older too. She's aged in those 2 years.
Married.
She's slow on the buzzer.
Not any taller.
She's lost her. Yeah, she's lost her edge. And the old producer just got trounced by the new producer. That's what happened. Got a few minutes left here in the show. Wanted to talk to you guys about a story that happened this week. I don't know how much you're paying attention. We mentioned the Battle Hawks in the last segment with Katie's caw. I don't know if you guys saw this story or not, but Vince McMahon is apparently trying to buy the XFL that he owns. He's the one that put it into bankruptcy, and now he is attempting to buy the company out of bankruptcy.
On the cheap.
On the cheap.
And looking for, like, the local teams to rebuy their lease or to buy the lease from them. It's so confusing.
What do you think of this?
It's just a waste of time, and it's just money being moved around.
Do you think it was always his? Do you think when he shut things down, he never really intended to shut things down, that he always thought, we're going to do this, you know, we're going to do this, but the XFL is not dead. What do you think Vince McMahon thinks? Does he think it's dead?
When he shut it down, I don't necessarily thought it was going to be dead. I think they thought they were going to come back and play.
What about when he went bankrupt?
When he went bankrupt, no. I think it's just money at this point. Sorry, Chris.
No, you're good.
Well, that's the one thing that I've never understood, you know. The leagues, all the major professional leagues, suspended their seasons until they could get it back on. But, you know, Major League Baseball and NFL didn't just say, we're shutting down forever.
Well, it's a completely different business model.
Next season.
It's a totally different model.
Next season.
It is a different model, but
And
it was
no
successful.
Cachet in it.
It was
successful here.
I thought it was successful. I
wouldn't
around
say.
The
I don't think it's. I don't think it's fair to say that it was successful to where they could have a pile of money to sit on and wait all of this out.
Right.
5 years in, potentially you have that leeway to rebuild a fan base. You can't rebuild a fan base after what, 5 games?
Right.
However many it was that actually got played,
they built the fan base in 5 months.
We were wildly successful here, but if you look at the other markets, I don't think they were anywhere near what we were here in Seattle.
Television ratings were way higher across the country.
Except they kept dropping.
Oh, did they?
They kept dropping every week.
So is it dead, or is it?
I think it's dead. Dead.
You think it's dead?
I think it's dead. Dead. I think this is just Vince trying to figure out how to get some money out of it. I don't think he's really serious.
Yeah.
He sunk so much into it that he's trying to get something out of it.
Right.
Maybe somebody might buy it from him, I think is kind of his thought process.
So Frank, explain to us how he's doing this. How are you
I don't understand
filing
how
bankruptcy
he's doing
for this venture, and then you're going to buy it out of bankruptcy?
No, people are saying it's some very shady loopholes that he's trying to take advantage of, and the legalities of it, I think, are in a gray area.
Yeah, gray area. Just like, you know, it's like the good guys versus the bad guys in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gray area.
Yeah, exactly.
And people with chairs.
Staying on the topic of sports, the NHL. The NHL has been very chaotic throughout this process. It seems like football and baseball and basketball, as they've kind of just like, what are we going to do? What's the new season going to look like? Or what's it going to look like when we get back to play? Seems like those sports have always kind of been on one track. The NHL has kind of been all over the place. And now that what they're talking about this week is having basically playing a 24 team, I think, playoffs in two cities and just start the tournament now, start the playoffs now in these two cities. That's what we're going to do. You like that plan, Frank?
I think it's an interesting plan. I question whether or not they can get it all in, because they have to figure out how to get all of this in and then have a slight break and then come back next year.
Right.
And what's difficult is that you're looking at playing these sports, playing these games in buildings that are not meant to have games in July and August.
Right. Good point.
Because you've got ice conditions to worry about. You know, NBA, they could go set up a court in your backyard and play games.
Yep.
You can't do that with ice hockey. Any gymnasium without fans. And that, I really think that's what some of these sports should do, is say, okay, we don't need to play at Enterprise Center. We could play at Ladue High School and tape the game and play the game on TV without any fans. You can't do that in hockey. Those buildings are not meant to be great ice conditions in July and August. I think that's an issue.
Yeah. Quick answer here, Chris. Yes. Frank Cusimano's been telling us on the Dave Glover Show that he thinks it's a bad look from the Major League Baseball players. There's a faction of them that say that they don't want to come back and play a short season in front of no fans because they're not getting paid enough to risk their families and, you know, all that. And Frank has been saying millionaire baseball players say, I'm not getting paid enough to play the game, is not a good look. What do you think about that?
I agree. I don't think it's a question of we're leaving our families and all that. I think it comes down to a question of they don't want to take a pay cut, because if they do that in this particular instance, then it may give the owners some leverage in future negotiations. So I think this is all a union. We don't want to take pay cuts and make that our position thing more than anything.
10 seconds, Frank. I know you disagree.
I believe the players who say they want to be with their families and they want to keep them safe, because you and I have those same thoughts, Chris.
Yeah, and I, you know what? And those thoughts are legitimate, but I don't like hearing them say, I don't get paid enough. It's not, you know, I don't get paid enough to play this game. Like, leave the money out of it. Stick to family and safety. Don't talk
about
cash.
So maybe it's a bad look.
Yeah.
But I think it's
also they mess up their collective bargaining thing if they end up, if they take any pay cuts. That's what's foremost in their minds.
Yep. Got to wrap it up. Thanks for listening to another edition of The Weekend Report. Check out the podcast on the radio.com app. And for Chris Arps and Frank Ladd, I'm Tony Colombo. We'll see you back here next week on 97.1 FM Talk. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.